Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast of Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Brian Mondock.
And my name is Jeff Jackson. Brian.
Hey, Jeff. Good morning. Good afternoon from me. We have people on the line where it's nighttime where they are. So why don't you introduce who is with us today, Jeff?
Yeah. Hey, first of all, isn't technology amazing? I mean, it's like, almost noon out here in California. You got 2:30 in the afternoon, and our special guests that are on with us today are in Ukraine. Amazing. So, hey, yeah, we're blessed to be able to have Byron and Emily Johnson with us today on our podcast. And, we had the privilege, right, Brian? I'm sure you counted a privilege a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
To talk with Pastor Ed Taylor.
He is a wise pastor.
Yes, he is. And a guy who gets it. He gets God's heart for the globe. And so, one of the blessings that we've had as a ministry here at Shepherd Staff is to serve, people that are sent direct to the field from their home churches and then to try to, facilitate them being sent well. And certainly Ed's been an example of a church that sends well. And so we thought it would be a good idea to introduce to whoever's listening today or whoever listens to us on a regular basis, or maybe some new people now, some of the folks that have been receivers of the global impact of Calvary Aurora. And so Byron and Emily, it's good to have you on. How are you guys?
We're doing good. It's great to be on. Great to chat with you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you. So just for a reference, what time is it there?
It's 9:10 p.m.
So 9:10 p.m. Okay. That is amazing. I'm an old guy, you guys, I have kids older than both of you. So just the whole idea that we're talking at three different time zones at the exact same minute, three different places around the world, just boggles my mind. So I never want to take that for granted, because back in the day when I was in the military, and I was, I spent a year and a half in Japan. And then, of course, we were missionaries. Later on in the Central Philippines, the technology just is so radically changed. And the blessings that come with that for cross-cultural workers are amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really.
Anyway, hey, so what we want to do is, I know you guys have been out there since near the end of 2012, but I thought it would be helpful to kind of begin with you guys kind of giving us your story of, how did an interest in global missions come on your personal radar screens? And then what did it take for God to move you to make such a radical move to the other side of the world?
Hey, and I'm just curious too, is while we're hearing all that, are you guys native Colorado folks?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So give us a bit of your backstory.
Yeah, so we met it when we were in high school and we started dating. So high school sweethearts. And so actually it kind of starts even before we met, the Lord working in our hearts, which is pretty cool. So my family had my family's a believing family, and they had missionary friends who were out in Russia and then eventually ended up in Ukraine. And my older brother and my mom went on a trip out to Ukraine when I was probably 14 or 15. They came back and they had some pretty cool stories, and it was interesting to me, and just kind of, I think the Lord used that to spark an interest in missions and specifically Eastern Europe. And so by the time I met Emily when we were in high school, just mm-hmm. kind of sharing about, actually I had gone to Ukraine my last year of high school right before I met Emily, and came back, met Emily, and I was just like super excited about, this place in Eastern Europe, and just, telling Emily all about it. And it was cool because she's like, no way, I've had a passion for the Russian language and for Eastern Europe.
Yeah. So my story kind of, the Lord's working in Byron's life and when we're not together, and the Lord was working in my life simultaneously, which is so cool. Like, we don't know what the Lord's doing, but he's always, working his hands on everything. So mm-hmm. when I was 4 years old, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And that was kind of like a big part of my story. And that brought me to get saved when I was really young, because, the fear of death and things like that was very real for me as a child. And a missionary came to our church, and he gave you know, just an update, furlough update. And I don't actually remember this, but my parents told me that after it finished, there really weren't any kids there. And I raised my hand and I said, can type 1 diabetics be missionaries too? Yes. You can be anything that God asks you to be and calls you to be. And mm-hmm. so the Lord just, you know, gave me a passion for Eastern Europe, and that missionary was serving in Russia. And I understood that there was something called the Soviet Union. I couldn't understand the grasp of it. You know, it already fallen as a kid. But that people didn't have the opportunity to know who Jesus was, that they didn't get Bibles, things like that. And so when I met Byron, like, I thought, oh, you know, boys are going to think I'm so weird. I'm so into this part of the world. I really want to speak Russian. And then Byron tells me, like, hey, I went to this crazy place called Ukraine. What do you think? And the Lord had just brought us together to have the same passion for these people.
Wow. Now, were you attending the same church at the time?
No, we weren't. So actually, when we met, it's also interesting, like, the Lord was really just doing stuff in my life. I wasn't really walking with the Lord at that time, and just kind of in some rebellion and some junk. And when I met Emily, like, I knew that I wanted, you know, to get serious about my life, marry her, and get serious about the Lord. And so I wasn't going to a church. When we started dating, I was like, man, we need to go to church. Like, let's find a place to go. And that's when we walked into Calvary Aurora. And that like radically changed our life.
Yeah. So my family is a believing family too. And we had just left our church. And so we had a period of about a year where we were kind of church hopping and not really committed anywhere. And so Byron and I, when we found Calvary Aurora, it was really crazy. And, you know, it was like the first time we'd really heard the word of God taught. And like, it rocked our world. It wasn't a scheme. It wasn't like lights and fancy stuff. It was really just Pastor Ed teaching the word, and like it totally changed us. And so,
So you're like 19 or 20 years old at the time?
Yeah, I was 18 or 19, and Emily was like 17. Yeah, man. So from there, like, we spent a couple of years, you know, just serving in the church, growing in the Lord, sitting under teaching. I got baptized, and
we got married.
Yeah.
were you working, or were you going to school, or how are you supporting yourself?
Yeah, I was working. I was working at PF Chang's, working in the restaurant industry.
Yeah, Starbucks.
Yeah. So we were just, you know.
Okay.
We were scraping by.
Okay. All right.
Got our degrees. We finished college, and.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but the Lord, like, after a couple of years of just growing at Calvary Aurora, the Lord just brought back to memory Ukraine, Eastern Europe. And I think for it was a lot of with Pastor Ed's teaching, you know, and the vision of Calvary Aurora is when disciples send. And we were just totally on board with what the Lord was doing there and seeing people stepping out of faith and, you know, just being used mightily. And we're like, we want to be a part of whatever the Lord's doing. And at that time, he kind of brought back to memory, you know, Ukraine, like, oh, I'd been there, and the Lord had put some sort of seed in my heart for the people of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And so we started seriously just praying and talking with pastors at Calvary and figuring out, like, what does it mean to be a missionary? Like, how is the Lord calling us? Like, what does that all mean? It was a really cool time, you know?
Yeah. So was that when you guys were doing that, when you were sharing what God was stirring with leadership of the church, had they already developed any kind of pathway or process that they pointed you to follow? Or was that still sort of in the formative stages within the church too?
I think
they had a few missionaries that had gone out, but I'm not sure. I think maybe they had gone through organizations, but maybe no one had just gone to a country. And so there wasn't really...
Like, we didn't have contacts in Ukraine. We just like knew, like, we should go to Ukraine, and like, how does this happen? So there was, and so like, we were like kind of stepping out, like, what do we do? And then Pastor Dave Gordon was the missions pastor at that time. So he was, he was helping us kind of like walk through it. And at that time, it really felt like, man, let's just step out and see what the Lord has. We didn't really know what it looked like at all.
He came up with a list of, like, you know, some names of people who used to serve in Eastern Europe, and just said, like, these guys, see if you can crash on their couch, go for a summer, and let the Lord speak to you. And if he says yes, move, and make sure you have enough money to fly back to America if something goes wrong.
Yeah. So, okay. So how did that unfold? Did you contact some of the people that he gave you, and that's what you guys did?
Yeah. So we just found, different contexts of Calvary guys. Cause like Calvary, like we were just so on board with what Calvary was doing in Aurora. We like just really felt similar. Like our heart for Ukraine has always been church planting and just teaching the Bible. And so we were like, man, we need to connect with the Calvaries in Ukraine and see what they're doing. And so, yeah, we wrote a number of them, and a couple guys wrote us back and said, yeah, come on out. And so we just bought tickets and went out one summer. Yeah. And just started traveling around Ukraine, meeting different missionaries and pastors, seeing what the Lord would do, with no idea where or when or what we would do. Just like, hey, let's just step out and see what the Lord may do for us, you know?
So roughly what year, what year was that taking place? That's that initial trip you guys took?
Well, that was 2012, the summer of 2012 when we bought those tickets. And then we moved to October that year. So yeah. Like the Lord moved super quick. Once he said go, we were like, okay, it's time. Yeah. So
go ahead and finish your thought, Emily.
Oh yeah. I wanted to say the Lord kind of confirmed for us Ukraine and all of that through the book of Joshua. And so that was sort of our prescribed method, I guess. And the pastors encouraged us in that too. Like there can't be a better prescribed method than what's already in the Word. And so we saw how Caleb and Joshua did things, and even some of when they were with Moses and stuff and spying things out, checking out the land. And so we just, when we came here, we decided to not talk to each other about our impressions of different cities, and just to really seek the Lord and stay in the Word. And we journaled. And then at the end of our trip, we switched journals to see what kind of the other person's report was. And it was really cool because we had the exact same report and even the same verses the Lord spoke to us. So it was really undeniable. And so as scary as it was to just pick up and move, it also wasn't that scary because we knew that this was what God wanted us to do.
That is very interesting and fascinating. So the idea of you guys being together on the trip, but keeping personal journals that you don't talk about what you're journaling. Is that an idea you guys came up with, or did somebody sort of say, hey, you should do this?
Yeah, I think Pastor Dave was really helpful in just encouraging us, you know, what to do. He's like, just shout it out and just stay silent and seek the Lord and see what the Lord may say through that. And
that's very cool. That is a very cool technique. What do you think about that, Brian?
I think that's awesome. I always encourage whenever anybody goes on a trip to journal, but this is a really cool technique because, you know, when you're in the moment, especially when you're on a mission trip and typically you don't have internet and you don't have your phone set up regularly. So you just have all this extra fantastic time to really think about what the Lord's doing. Plus you're so blown away by the culture and you're just like, I can't believe I'm here. And it's just like, this stuff that's inside of you just flows. So I think it's brilliant to use a journal. And the idea that you guys, you know, kind of journaled privately and then flip-flop journals with each other, I think that's a pretty good thing. It'd be hard to say, here's what you need to do to everybody that goes out there because it depends on the kind of chemistry a couple has with each other. But it sounds like you guys have some pretty awesome chemistry, unless you guys just had like a huge fight before we got on the phone with you. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And you both like to journal, right? You guys are good with writing and keep putting your thoughts on paper.
Well, I'm on their blog right now, so it's pretty interesting. They got some great pictures and stuff.
Well, we got to get back on that.
I love talking to people that have a blog. That's the same thing if you go on my blog too. Yeah. All the apologies come out.
Yeah, that's right. And I won't even enter that because my blog, the last time I put something on it was 3 years ago.
what I am looking at on here is it looks like there's an ordination service happening.
Yeah.
Where they're praying over you. What's going on in that picture? Are you holding the ordination? Yes. In your hand?
Yeah. So it was that was last summer. We went back for furlough, and yeah, Pastor Ed ordained me for ministry. So that was a really special moment for me, just to have, you know, just another thing, another confirmation that Pastor Ed is and Calvary Aurora is behind us, and they're on board with what we're doing, and that we're not alone. And even though we have our own church here now, like, you know, our home church is Calvary Aurora, and just their support over the years has been incredible. So just that affirmation of being ordained and recognized by my pastor, that's a huge thing of encouragement.
No, that's massive to be sent that way so publicly. So you're like you're the lead pastor at this church. Forgive me for not knowing this. Where you guys are in Ukraine, what'd you do? You took over a church, or?
Well, I think it would be helpful for you guys to continue your story, because I mean, I know details of your story that Brian doesn't, and nobody else does that's listening. So you guys land over there in a certain city when you first go over in 2012, and then what happens?
Yeah, so then we visited a couple churches. The Lord confirmed that this one small city in Western Ukraine called Ternopil, there was a Calvary there. The Lord confirmed that we should move there and support the church there. The pastor at the time was George Markey Jr. So we were just serving with him, and just like we just saw eye to eye with what they were doing in ministry, and we were just looking for a place. At that point, we were just like, let's just get, like, we know the Lord's called us to Ukraine. Like, let's just get out there and see what he does. So when we were there in Ternopil for that week, the Lord confirmed that we should go. And when we came back to the States, it was really like just a blur trying to get things ready to
sell everything we own.
And that's and that's when the church, I think, really stepped in, and we started to like develop. Because before that, like, we weren't sure what we were doing or where we're going. But once we had that plan and that vision, what God gave us, the church just stepped in and really supported us and took care of us and helped us get out there. Yeah. You know?
Okay. So you get out there, and then what happens?
We moved to Ternopil, and we served there, and it was a great place, especially because the church was already kind of rooted, grounded, and so we could grow there, grow and learning about ministry and stuff. And then the Lord just kind of started stirring up our hearts for Eastern Ukraine. Like, my train was like 27 hours away, and to the city Donetsk. And if that sounds familiar to people listening, that is the city that ended up having war break out the next year. So we moved there to plant a church. There was no church. And we were there for, I don't even know, maybe
almost a year.
Yeah. And things just, more and more unrest started in Kiev, and it slowly spread to Donetsk. And when it hit Donetsk, it just really like blew up. It was crazy. We tried to stay as long as we could, but even the people who had been coming to our church, I don't even know if we can really say church. Like, we had a small group of people. We met in our living room, and we just started, we rented an office in the center, and they were even fleeing. And actually, there was a moment where one Ukrainian girl, who she was with a Baptist church there, and she called me and she said, "Listen, Emily, like, if you feel like you have to stay here to serve us, there's a time coming where we need to take care of our families and ourselves. And if you're here, we're going to feel like we have to take care of you, and you need to go, you need to leave while you can." And after that, things kind of got worse, and we got some emails from Ed and a couple other pastors, like at the exact same time. And they said, "I think you need to flee today." And we felt like we needed to flee that day too. We just prayed that morning. And so we bought a ticket, and we just left. We went to the airport, and the airport had just been taken over by Russian rebels. And so we kind of snuck through, tried not to draw any attention to ourselves, and then we were gone.
Like, by the grace of God, there were still flights. And I think 2 days after we flew out, the battle started at the airport. And maybe you saw in the news, like, the whole airport was destroyed through fighting and shelling. And so we really, the Lord really, you know, saved us and got us out on one of the last flights out of Donetsk.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, Emily, you brought up a really interesting point, because, you know, we have people that we serve in, you know, in 60 countries, and, you know, in a lot of places, the safety and security situation can change literally overnight. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that, you know, the people that pay attention to security and safety of global workers is the idea of trusted nationals, of like the people that you live among. They love you, they care about you. And so their input, their counsel, and things go sideways is absolutely crucial. And I want to just take a few seconds to explore that a little more, because the comment that you made, Emily, I think was, it needs to be, I think for us that it can't relate to that context at all. It needs to be unpacked a little further. So this Ukrainian woman that you knew, she basically said to you, look, we love you and your presence here could distract us from taking care of our own families. Am I summarizing that correctly?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. And, you know, like the city had just fallen into so much chaos. And, you know, like I won't go into detail, but just right. We struggled with PTSD after we left because of some of the things we saw. And, you know, waking right. up in the morning and seeing that there was, you know, like people died in the center, or having people carrying pipes with masks on their face running past you midday because they're going to go, you know, wreck someone. And so there, this girl, you know, she loved us. And that was the reality. Like as missionaries, we want to serve the people that we're going to. Of course,
yes.
Of course they serve us. There's no way around it. That's how relationships work. We give and we take. But when the time comes that they would have to prioritize us over their own families to, you know, keep us safe, we have to think that we're not really serving them anymore. And also, Pastor Dave and Ed, they had both, you know, agreed to us about this, that, like, there's one thing, it's one thing when you're martyred, right? Like, call us standing up for the Lord. I will not renounce the name of Jesus. But that was not our situation. If we had become prisoners or were persecuted, it would not have been because we were Christians. It would have been because we were Americans and because a war was starting. And Pastor Dave, I remember him writing us and just saying, hey, if you stay behind and the Lord didn't call you to, you're not a martyr. You're just
acting foolishly. Yeah. Yeah.
Pastor Ed said to me was just like, hey, you can't serve the Lord. You can't continue serving the Lord if you die there, you know? And so like I wanted to keep serving the Lord. Like that was, you know, more important than this city for me, you know?
Yeah. And the other thing, again, we don't think about until we're put in those situations is you guys had the option to leave. And not just leave the city, but leave the country if you needed to. Whereas the people that you're living among and serving among, that's their home. And they could leave too, but at an incredibly greater cost than what you guys would pay if you had to leave. But that's a fascinating story. And I think there's some really important truths and principles there. So when you guys bailed out of Donetsk, where did you land?
Well, we landed in Frankfurt, the most depressing week of our life, except for the Dunkin' Donuts that we could walk to.
Okay, all right.
Ate a lot of donuts that week to help ourselves feel better. But yeah.
I think we always had the hope. We thought that it was just like, you know, that they would end quickly. And it wasn't
right.
It wasn't really a war. Like, it was just blown out of proportion. We thought it'd just blow over pretty quickly. Because there have been other revolutions in Ukraine over the years, and we didn't think that this would last so long. So we're like, hey, we'll just stick it out for the summer. We stayed with some friends and we traveled around a little bit. And it came to a point where we just really felt like we were homeless though. And we just like, what are we doing? Where are we going to sleep next?
Because we left all of our stuff. Like we had nothing. And then going back to the fact of me being type 1 diabetic, I have to take insulin regularly every day, all day. And so that was really the kicker. We came to the point that I was almost out of insulin and we just understood it's time to go home.
Yeah.
It was a really hard truth and a hard reality, but we, you know.
Right. Now, when you made that transition, I know you had talked to Dave previously, you had talked to Pastor Ed, and you made that trip to Frankfurt. Were you in regular contact then with Ed and Dave about where you were at, what you were doing, what looked like you'd be doing next?
Yeah. We were talking to them almost every day, and
both
of them Skyped us a number of times, and they were always checking in on us. So,
okay. So you guys make the decision to head from Germany back to the States.
Yeah. So we ended up in the States.
Well, no, we came back to Ukraine, Western Ukraine for a little while. And then we just kept couch hopping. We even went to Belarus for a little while. And then it finally, we just understood, back to Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of our most popular podcasts, Jeff, And Byron is the one about security and having a contingency plan. And did you guys have that stuff in place, or do you have it in place now? I mean, what's your...
We have it now, for sure.
You guys have like a go bag and...
Yeah. And I think Tim, our security guy was in contact with you, giving you some options in within Ukraine and so forth too, correct?
Yeah. So that was stuff. We were trying to start thinking through that stuff when we were there, but we had never considered that type of safety before.
You're like, what? I was like 24 or something. Yeah. And you don't think about what you need. I mean, Dave wrote us and Ed wrote us, I'm like, do you have water? I'm like, water? Oh, the water could turn off? You know?
Yeah. Forgive me for laughing so hard. I worked in Sudan for a while and we had to pump our water. So
we didn't know what we were doing. But now
we started, like the last couple of days, we started looking at, you know, figuring out train tickets or airplane, how to get out of there, and just starting to realize it's going to become more and more tricky. And so from that experience, we have a lot more wisdom.
So while you guys were in Frankfurt, were there other American expats there that were, you know, kind of in the same boat as you?
No, you know, there is a Calvary Chapel in Frankfurt and we wanted to connect with them, but it was such like a spiritually dark week for us.
Right.
Like, we were so depressed, and just the strangest things happened to us that week. Like, Weird things, you know, like walking home and prostitutes were all over the street. And like, what on earth? Where is this? And just any weird thing that could happen happened. And so we didn't connect with anyone. We just kind of like hid in our hotel.
We were
talked to Dave and Ed and cried and ate donuts.
Yeah. And you were, you were traumatized. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. And, you know, not just traumatized, but even grieving, not knowing what was happening next.
Yeah.
For sure.
Where did we miss you, Lord? This wasn't in my journal.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was the thing, like the Lord gave us such a deep, like something about Donetsk, the city and the people, like such a deep love and passion, not specifically for that place. And then that we got yanked out of it so quickly. That was just a lot of wrestling. Yeah. With the Lord, like, what's going on? Why did you do this? Why did you give me such passion and love for the city? And then we got yanked out of it so quickly. And so. Right.
So you landed back in Colorado for a while. Then what unfolded when she got back? And I know some interesting things happened after that. So go ahead.
So get your maps ready. Our lives get crazier. Yeah. But we were back, I don't even know, maybe just a few weeks. And we really thought that was it. Like, we're going to be in America forever. Missionary life is over. And we just couldn't accept that. And Dave had said to us, he was like, you know, usually wars like take about as much time to stop as they do to start. So you need to come up with something that's not a really, really long-term commitment if you are praying about someday going back to Donetsk. And so we had heard about Potter's Field Ministry, and they had come to Calvary Aurora a few times when we were going to church before we had become missionaries. And so we just decided, well, we know they work with kids and we know they're international. Maybe they would take us because, you know, we have nothing at this point. And so we wrote them and they were like, hey, we're actually looking for a couple to move to Uganda for a 6 to 7 month commitment. Do you have 6 to 7 months to commit? And we have a place for you to live, so don't bring anything. And I'm like,
what year was this?
I guess 2014. Yeah.
During the summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're like, this is perfect. We left all of our stuff behind in Donetsk.
We're looking for a home. You know?
Maybe 6 or 7 months the war will end. And like, I want to say too that, you know, we were just ready to do anything that would kind of kickstart us out of that funk that we had fallen into and start healing. So we said yes.
Okay.
Actually, at that time when we were, Pastor Ed offered me a position of like pastoral internship so that I could, you know, start supporting ourselves again and working at the church. And that was something we were really praying about and considering. And the Lord just made it really clear that you know, he still wanted us overseas somewhere. And that was the week that we got this offer to Uganda too. So it was cool to see how the Lord, you know, it wasn't just because we had nothing else to do, but like the Lord clearly put this calling on our heart to go step out into overseas missions again, you know.
Thanks for tuning in to part one of our interview with Byron and Emily Johnson. Join us in 2 weeks for part two of this interview with this awesome couple.